Best Gateway Board Games 2026, picked by Who You're Converting. Robert here, pull up a chair and let us sort the keeper from the shelf filler. A gateway board game is a deliberately accessible modern title, learnable in 5 minutes, finished in under an hour, with almost no reading or math, that's designed to pull a non-gamer past the Monopoly and Sorry ceiling. The famous Default, Catan, is a real gateway, but a slower, luck-swingier one that flops with as many newcomers as it wins over. Match the game to the person, and your hit rate goes way up. I've handed a first game to a lot of reluctant people over the years. In-laws who'd rather watch TV, a brother-in-law who only plays to win, a college roommate who thought everything past Uno was homework. And I learned the hard way that there is no single best gateway game. There's only the best gateway game for the person sitting across from you. The internet's top 10 lists all converge on the same 6 boxes, and they're not wrong, those boxes earn their spots. But a list ranked by raw quality tells you nothing about whether to put it in front of your competitive buddy or your 8-year-old niece. Those are opposite jobs. Hand the wrong one over, and you don't just lose the game, you confirm the newcomer's suspicion that this hobby isn't for them, and you may not get a second night. So this guide is organized the way I actually think about it, by the convert. 6 kinds of person you're probably trying to bring in, and the game that's quietly engineered to win each one. Everything here is real, currently purchasable, and points you to the maker. I'm someone who knows what earns its shelf and what doesn't. If it didn't earn a place in my house, it isn't in this guide. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. The skeptical spouse, someone who thinks board games are kid stuff, this is the hardest convert and the one most lists get wrong, because they reach for Catan, a 60 to 90 minute negotiation with dice, and the skeptic's eyes glaze before the second roll. The skeptical spouse isn't anti-fun, they're anti-asterisk wasting an evening on something that feels like a chore. You beat that with a game that looks like a designed object, ends before patience runs out, and rewards a satisfying aha on the very first turn. Azul, Plan B Games, Spiel des Jahres 2018, is my number one weapon here, and it's not close. You draft gorgeous, heavy resin tiles from a central pool and lay them into a mosaic. That's basically the whole rule set, and it teaches in about 3 minutes. It looks asterisk like something you'd leave out on the coffee table, not hide in a closet. Crucially, the skeptic gets to feel clever immediately. Oh, if I take the blue tiles, I deny you the blue tiles is a real strategic thought they'll have on turn one, and that little jolt is the conversion. 30 to 45 minutes, 2 to 4 players, no reading, no math beyond counting to 5. If your skeptic is more wordsmith than aesthete, just one repos production, Spiel des Jahres 2019, is the cooperative party alternative. Everyone writes a one-word clue, matching clues cancel out, and you laugh your way through it in 20 minutes. It's the rare game that makes a self-described, non-game person forget they were supposed to be too cool for this. Catan is the wrong first game for a skeptic sacred cow time. Catan is a fine gateway for someone already curious, but it is a terrible pick for a hard skeptic. It runs long, swings on dice rolls, and the robber lets one player feel personally attacked, the exact 3 things that confirm a skeptic's worst assumptions. Lead with Azul, save Catan for after they're in. Stack the deck on the first play, play the skeptic's first game 2-player, and quietly play to teach, not to crush. Point out one good move they could make each round without making the decision for them. A first win, or a close loss, they understood converts. A blowout where they never grasped why they lost does the opposite. The family with kids, one box that works for a 7-year-old, and the adults the family convert has a brutal constraint most gamers forget. The game has to genuinely work for a second grader asterisk and not bore the parents into never suggesting it again. That rules out most kids' games, too dull for adults, and most adult gateways, too fiddly for kids. You want a low-age floor, a no-reading rule set, and a decision space shallow enough that a child competes honestly but deep enough that a parent isn't just babysitting. Ticket to Ride Days of Wonder, Spiel des Jahres 2004, is the canonical family gateway for a reason. Collect matching train cards, claim colorful routes across a map, connect your secret cities. The board is a literal map of North America, which gives it a sneaky educational halo parents love, and the I needed that route. Moment delivers real tension without anyone getting eliminated or attacked. It seats up to 5, runs about 30 to 60 minutes, and an 8-year-old can hold their own. Hide the scorepad on night 1 with kids, play the first game or 2 without obsessing over the final score, let everyone just build their roots or their mosaic and see how it feels. The hook is the doing, not the winning. Bring the competition in once they already want to play again. Most kids' board games are the enemy of converting kids. The licensed character roll and move games at the big box store are where a child's interest in real board games goes to die. Pure luck, zero decisions, adults visibly checked out. A genuine gateway like Ticket to Ride respects the kid enough to give them an actual choice, and that respect is what makes a lifelong player. The competitive friend, someone who only enjoys it if they can win on skill, you know this convert. They're not anti-board game, they're anti-asterisk coin flip. If they lose to a dice roll, they conclude the game is shallow and check out. You're a Renaissance gem merchant building an engine, collect chip tokens, buy cards that discount future cards, snowball toward 15 prestige points. There's essentially no luck once the cards are out. It's a pure race of efficiency, and a sharp player feels their advantage compound turn over turn. That visible cause and effect is catnip to a competitor, and it still teaches in 5 minutes. If they want something more cutthroat and spatial, Carcassonne, Z-Man Games, Spiel des Jahres 2001 lets them block your cities and steal your farms. The take that is gentle but real, and the I saw that coming and you didn't factor scratches the competitive itch. And once they're hooked, Cascadia, covered below, is the natural step up that proves skill games can be calm and deep. The throughline, give a competitor a fair fight with a clear scoreboard, and they'll come back to settle the score. Lean into the rematch, the competitive friend's conversion mechanism is the rematch, not the first game. Splendor and Carcassonne both reset in 2 minutes, so when they lose the first round you say, best of three, before they can rationalize it as luck. By game 3, they're hooked on improving, which is the whole hobby. Don't hand a competitor a cooperative, as their first game cooperative games are wonderful, but they're the wrong opener for a win-driven personality. We all work together lands, as there's nothing to prove. Convert them with a sharp competitive game first. You can introduce the co-ops once they trust your taste. The party crowd, 6+ people, drinks, short attention, lots of laughing. This convert isn't one person, it's a room. The constraints flip completely. You need a game that scales past 4, survives interruptions and side conversation, demands zero strategy homework, and generates table talk rather than quiet optimization. A heavy gateway dies at a party. The box should fuel the social energy already in the room, not compete with it. 2 teams, 2 spymasters giving one-word clues to make their team guess the right agents on a 5x5 grid. It's a word association party engine that scales to 12+ people and produces the single best. How did you possibly think that clue meant asterisk octopus asterisk moments in the hobby? It's the game I bring when I don't know the crowd, because it makes strangers into a team in 1 round. For a faster, drink-friendlier vibe, Sushi Go Party. Game Right, the deluxe big box version, scales to 8 and plays in 20 minutes of breezy card drafting. And just 1, Repo's production doubles as a party star. It's cooperative, everyone writes a clue, duplicates cancel, loop gets a whole table groaning and cheering together. All 3 share the party gateway secret. The rules vanish in 90 seconds, so the people become the entertainment. Pick by player count, not by best, at 8+ people, even a great 4-player gateway like Azul falls apart, someone's always waiting. For a real crowd, sort your shelf by max player count first, and pick the best game that fits the room. Codenames Sushi Go Party, and just 1 all genuinely shine at high counts. Why Codenames keeps winning rooms, check games, editions, own framing nails the hook. 2 rival spymasters know the agent's secret identities, their teammates know them only by codename, and the teams race to make contact first. That structure forces talk, teamwork, and arguing, exactly the friction a party feeds on. The cat and only owner, they have 1 modern game and stop there. This is the most common and most overlooked convert in the hobby. the person whose entire modern board game identity is the dusty cat and box from a decade ago. They already crossed the gateway once, they just never got a second game, and assume Catan is asterisk the hobby. Your job isn't to start from zero. It's to show them the room is much bigger, with a game that feels like a clear upgrade in the directions Catan frustrated them. Less downtime, less getting attacked, less dice. Cascadia, Flatout Games / AEG, Spiel des Jahres 2022 is the perfect next box. You draft habitat tiles and wildlife tokens to build a Pacific Northwest ecosystem. It teaches in 2 minutes, plays in 30 to 45, and there's no robber, no trading standstill, no one ganging up on the leader. For a Catan owner who liked asterisk building something but hated the dice luck and the table politics, Cascadia is the oh, it can feel like asterisk this. Revelation. It even plays solo, which a busy Catan household quietly appreciates. And if they liked Catan's player interaction, but wished it were tighter, Ticket to Ride delivers that I'm racing you for the same space tension in a cleaner, shorter package. The pitch is always the same. You already like this kind of thing, here's the part of it you've been missing. Sell the upgrade, not the replacement. Never tell a Catan loyalist their game is bad, that's their one good board game memory. Frame Cascadia or Wingspan as the next one, built on what they already enjoy. People defend a beloved first game, they happily accept a sequel to the feeling. Cascadia and Wingspan both solo a practical edge for the Catan household that can't always wrangle 3 to 4 players. Cascadia, 1 to 4, and Wingspan, 1 to 5, both have strong single-player modes. The Catan-only owner who's been stuck waiting for a full table suddenly has games they can play tonight, alone. The strategy curious, a brain that wants depth, but hates a rulebook, the final convert, is the smart friend who suspects they'd love a meaty game, but bounced off the hobby's reputation for 40-page rulebooks. They don't want light, light bores them. They want depth without overhead. Asterisk a short rule set that opens into a genuinely deep decision space. This is the most rewarding convert, because they often become the most committed player you've got. Cascadia earns a second mention here, because it's the cleanest depth for its weight game on the shelf. Its 2-minute teach hides a surprisingly thorny optimization puzzle as you chase shifting wildlife scoring rules, and the strategy curious mind lights up when it realizes how much is going on under such simple rules. Wingspan Stonemaier Games is the other top pick, building a tableau of 170 plus unique birds, each with its own little power, scratches the I want my decisions to combo asterisk itch, while the core loop stays explainable in 5 minutes. It's a cooperative trick-taking card game, wildly cheap, pocket-sized, where the depth comes from the puzzle of asterisk coordinating without being allowed to talk freely. For an analytical person, that constraint is a beautiful, escalating brain teaser across 32 missions, and it converts the eye like logic puzzles more than games, crowd better than anything else I own. Give a deep thinker a small box that punches 3 weight classes up, and you've made a player for life. Heavy is not the same as good gateway. The instinct with a smart friend is to reach for a sprawling 3-hour epic to prove the hobby has depth. Resist it, the rulebook is what bounced them before. Cascadia, Wingspan, and the crew all prove that the best depth-to-rules ratio, not raw heft, is what converts a clever skeptic. Use the crew as a difficulty dial. The crew's 32 numbered missions are a built-in onboarding ramp. Start at mission 1, and the game itself layers in complexity at exactly the pace your convert can handle. It's the rare gateway that grows with the player instead of plateauing, which is catnip for the strategy curious. Final verdict. Stop asking what's the best gateway game, and start asking who am I converting. For a skeptical spouse, Azul wins more often than anything else on Earth. For a family with kids, Ticket to Ride is the one box that fits a second grader and the adults. For a party, Codenames or Sushi Go. For a competitor, Splendor's Luck-Free Skill Race. For the Catan-only owner and the strategy curious, Cascadia and Wingspan show how big the room really is. The famous default Catan is a real gateway, but a slower, luckier one that loses as many newcomers as it wins. Reach for it only when someone's already curious. Match the game to the person, lead the first night as a teacher rather than a competitor, and your conversion rate goes from a coin flip to a near sure thing. Every one of these earned its shelf in my house, and we point you to the maker, because a good first game is the start of a hobby, not a transaction. Still deciding? Take the game finder, answer 7 quick questions, and the cabinet hands you the one board game built for your table, with a buy link and your own shareable player talisman. Frequently asked questions. What is a gateway board game? A gateway board game is a modern, deliberately accessible title designed to introduce non-gamers to the hobby beyond mass-market classics like Monopoly and Sorry. The defining traits: it teaches in about 5 minutes, finishes in under an hour, needs little to no reading or math, and avoids player elimination so nobody sits out feeling bored. Azul, Ticket to Ride, and Cascadia are textbook examples. The whole point is a low barrier with just enough real decision-making to make someone say, "Let's play again." What is the single best gateway board game for a complete beginner? There isn't one universal answer. The best gateway game depends on who you're converting. If you force me to name one safe default for a mixed group of curious adults, it's Azul. It's beautiful, fast, teaches in 3 minutes, and delivers a real strategic moment on turn one. Is Catan still a good gateway game in 2026? It's a real gateway, but an overrated default. It converts people who are already curious, but for a hard skeptic or a young family, shorter, luck-lighter, conflict-free games like Azul, Ticket to Ride, or Cascadia have a much higher hit rate. Which popular gateway games actually flop with newcomers? The honest ones. Catan can flop with skeptics because of its length, dice luck, and the robber picking on people. Heavy introductory euros that still carry a thick rulebook flop with the strategy curious because the rulebook is exactly what scared them off before. And licensed roll and move family games flop with kids in the deeper sense. They're so luck-driven and decision-free that they teach a child board games are boring. Match the weight and the luck level to the person. What's the best gateway game for a non-gamer spouse or partner? It looks like a designed object you'd leave on the coffee table rather than a toy. It teaches in 3 minutes, and the skeptic gets a genuine, "Oh, I can deny you those tiles" strategic thought on the first turn. That little jolt is the conversion. What's a good gateway board game for families with young kids? For younger children, 6 and up, or shorter attention spans, Sushi Go. What gateway game works for a competitive person who hates losing to luck? Once the cards are dealt, there's essentially no luck. It's a pure efficiency race where the better player's advantage compounds visibly each turn, which is exactly what a competitor wants to feel. 2 standouts, Sushi Go, both prove a great gateway doesn't have to be expensive. How many players should a gateway game support? Match it to your group. Tile and engine games like Azul, Splendor, and Cascadia top out around 2 to 4 players and shine at low counts. For a real party, 6+ people, you specifically need code names, Sushi Go Party, or just one. A 4-player gateway falls apart at a crowd because someone is always waiting. Sort your options by max player count first, then pick the best game that actually fits the room.